Okay. So glad you guys all showed up. Means a lot to see your faces and have you be present. Helps me to know that we're all making a difference in each other's lives. I think that's real important for us to kind of understand. So as always, I'll start us off with a prayer. Just want to thank you, Father, for bringing us together. I want to ask for your guidance and your direction, some inspiration, some intuition as we go through this difficult inventory process. I ask that you just allow us to face and be rid of the things inside of us that are blocking us from a relationship with you and with others and with ourselves. Tonight, I'm going to ask that you enable us to find a way to have our fear removed and allow us to have our attention directed to what you would have us be. Thank you again for this meeting, this opportunity, and your guidance. In your name we pray. Amen. Right. So tonight we're going to talk about fear, that evil and corroding thread. We've discussed a lot in the last few months, and we've kind of came to terms with being an alcoholic or an addict, understanding that a life run on self-will can hardly be a success, right? That's kind of the conclusion that we're coming to. And what we're finding is that we're carrying around a lot of stuff. Whether we've looked at these things before and are revisiting them, or whether we never knew they existed or have ever had the courage to even put them on paper. So we're all in different areas of healing and growth, but we're talking about the same things. We're talking about the manifestation of self in our lives. And the way that it rears its ugly head in sobriety. As we're trying to be comfortable in our own skin, as we're trying to do the right thing, as we're trying to live life on God's terms, whatever that looks like, we find that for some reason we become uncomfortable, we become irritable, we become restless. And ultimately, what we're going to talk about tonight is that it's all driven by fear. Everything in our lives is driven by fear. Gonna shut this window. So being the evil and corroding thread in my life, what I'm beginning to come to terms with, as I saw in my third column, in my resentment inventory, the seven areas of self that I have so twisted. Remember, they're not bad areas. They're God-given instincts, right? They're just in collision with each other. I can't seem to get them in line. And I'm allowing people to rule my life because I'm carrying around ideas and thoughts about particular circumstances or particular people that I just can't seem to let go of. And what I see in that third column is that there's fears in each one of those areas, seven areas of self, right? And we talk about finding the things that are objectionable as we move forward. We talk about the exact nature of our wrongs. Life is the exact nature of all my wrongs. And the fear in my life is why my seven areas of self are always in collision. The fear in my life is why I'm carrying around resentments against people, institutions, or principles that I can't seem to let go of. Sometimes I'm afraid of what I'll become. Sometimes I'm hanging on to these things for protection. And some of you might find that if you look hard enough. Some of you might recognize, I guess for lack of a better term, there's a lot of fear in letting go of your fear. Because that fear, it kind of surrounds you and protects you and enables you to isolate and keeps you from being honest and enables you to not have to be vulnerable. It's like a mask and it's very dangerous. And that's why this process can be so difficult, because once I acknowledge my fears and I find that they're objectionable and I become willing to let them go, I instantly become vulnerable. But I believe that that level of invulnerability is a requirement for me to go to God and say, look, I'm not even worthy of any of this. And I don't have the answer. And I just want your help. Because ultimately our goal with this process, the whole 12 steps actually finished by carrying this message to somebody else, but this level of surrender to God. So as I see these fears in my life, the one thing I have to become willing to do is to acknowledge them, acknowledge that I can't be free of them, and then turn them over to God. My experience is that has to be done on a regular basis over and over and over. I think if I'm looking for instant results, I'm probably going to be disappointed. And so understanding that fear is always going to be a part of my life, this is just my experience, helps me to kind of retain my humanity and understand there's a necessity for God reliance, because the other option is self-reliance fails me every time. I'm right back where I started. I'm miserable. I'm full of fear and I don't have the answer. I don't have anything I can do about it, right? So our goal here is to acknowledge these fears through this inventory process, understand that these fears are the driving force of all of this, and find a way to build a relationship with God where we can be honest and vulnerable and acknowledge, I'm scared and I don't know what to do and I need your help. Because all this fear grid is going to do for us is going to show us that self-reliance fails us. See, a life run on self, in our experience, is filled with fear. And we try to protect ourselves in all kinds of different ways. The main way we did was by getting loaded. So now we remove that. So at times the fear seems to grow and it gets worse and it gets stronger and it gets more real. And the circumstances that we feel so helpless around tend to consume us and overwhelm us, right? The ninth step promise says our fears fall from us. Let's say they disappear. See, I'm not one to say, well, that means they're just gone. That's not realistic. And by the way, that's not until I go out and do some really honest, thorough amends. Not some half-ass, I'm sorry for doing this and that, and walk away. Honest, thorough, this is the resentment I've been carrying around about you forever. And it's driven me to carry this attitude about our relationship. And for that, I apologize. See, now I'm vulnerable. Now I just overcame that particular fear of what you're going to think of me, of you judging me, of the outcome of me being vulnerable and honest and letting you know I'm scared, and I'm pretty much scared all the time. And I protect myself with judgment of you. And I blame you for what I perceive to be harm that you did to me. And I carry that around. And for that, I apologize. See, that's the beginning of my fears beginning to fall from me. All we're doing here in this inventory process is we're recognizing that these are the exact nature of our wrongs, that these are the things that are objectionable. We're going to lean heavily on them in our fifth steps when we're talking to somebody about what are these fears? Do you see them? Let's talk about them. Why do you have them? And we go to 6 and 7. Say, here's me, God. And by the way, I'm still scared. And when I walk through this new threshold or the doorway or however you end up doing a step 6 and 7, why am I still scared? Because it's the evil and corroding thread in all of our lives, and it will crop up. And for most of us, it's the fear of tomorrow. It's the fear of the outcome. It's the fear of the unknown. We are comfortable when our circumstances in life are certain. That's when we're good, and that's when we're straight. When I know what's going to happen, when I can guarantee the outcome, I'm certain. Right? That's unrealistic. That's how we lived our lives before we came into Alcoholics Anonymous, pretending that we were in control and that life was certain. And when it didn't go our way, we got more loaded and we made it certain. And we twisted it. We tried to wrestle satisfaction out of life if only people said and behaved the way we wanted them to, right? That's what we did. So what are we doing now? We are going to have to learn to become comfortable amidst uncertainty. That's the essence of the third step. That's the essence of the third step. And to go to God over and over and say, I don't know. I am scared. I am uncertain. And I'm going to trust you. And please help me. Sometimes it happens 100 times in the day. Sometimes it's going on in your mind. Sometimes it's on your knees. All I know is when you turn your back on it and go days on end without it, the chances are that fear is just going to grow and grow and grow. And now I'm kind of defeating the purpose of what I'm trying to do here. The scariest thing about the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous is that you cannot fake them. You can't fake them. You're either surrendering or you're not. So that being said about fear, please don't get into this assumption or carry around some expectations that it's just going to poof, go away. My experience is I'm afraid when I don't have enough money. I'm afraid when I have too much money that I'm not going to make more money. I'm afraid when I don't have enough work. I'm afraid when I have too much work, how I'm going to get it done. I'm instantly afraid when I wake up in the morning, my mind is racing. I'm worrying until I sit down and get quiet or open a book or say a prayer. Just take a minute. Sometimes I can't get to sleep because my mind is racing. What am I worried about? I'm worried about tomorrow. See, even when I take a really hard look at these resentments I'm carrying around, and if I'm telling myself that I'm guilty and I'm shameful and I'm remorseful and I'm resentful about the past, what's really happening is I'm afraid of what's going to happen next. See, because that stuff's already happened. And I know there's nothing I can do about it. And deep down inside, I want to change it. But the true fear is, what's going to come of it? What's going to become of me? What's going to become of that relationship? How's it going to look? Right? So we got to find a way to bring it back to the present. We got to find a way to lift this stuff up to God. We got to find a way to admit that we are scared a lot of the time. And if we can be honest and vulnerable enough, we can usually see what's underlying. See, all those things I just said to you is this fear of failure and not being good enough in my life. right? And why do I walk around with the fear of failure and not being good enough? Because I'm full of ego, pride. I'm arrogant. I'm selfish. And if I fail, I'm not going to live up to my own expectations. I'm not going to be worth anything. So understanding that God accepts me just how I am, and the more vulnerable I am with Him, admitting those things, if I can be honest and sincere in prayer, I can heal. That's all I need to be. There's no specific wording that needs to be said. There's no procedure. There's no wrong way to pray. I feel honest and sincere. I'm scared. I need help. And I don't know is way more powerful than getting on your knees and saying the third step prayer like a parrot every day because you memorized it, but you really aren't feeling it. So kind of contemplate that. I'm scared. I don't know. I need help. Please help me. All right? I don't think there's a more honest prayer. So it says here, notice that the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties. Okay? So we talked about the fear that we see in our third column. What are difficulties? First column, second column. Seven areas of self in the third column. This short word somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. That's why I talked to you guys for 20 minutes here before I even started reading. This tiny little word touches every aspect of our lives. My difficulties aren't the seven areas of self. Those are what I have to get back. My difficulties are what I wrote next to them in the third column. That's what we transcribe. My true difficulties are the fears that I cannot seem to overcome next to the third column. Those are the fears from your resentment inventory that you're going to take and put on this fear grid. Okay. If done correctly, you will see them repeat over and over and over again. And that's good. I don't need to have 150 fears when I can narrow it down to four that are driving my life. And no one fear is more important than another. No one fear is more real than another. It's real to you. It's real to me. Here's the thing. I've made it life and death, right? Let's stop doing that. Let's stop doing that. I'll say that again. I have made fear life and death for myself. I have to stop doing that. And what I have to accept is that fear is life. Fear must be faced. Fear must be walked through, and I can only do that with courage, and I can only get that by reliance upon God and letting go of self. Okay? Fear is life. It's not life and death anymore. Think about how you've made these fears in your life, life and death. How these fears have dominated us more than any resentment we have ever had. We wake up with them. We walk around with them. We go to bed with them. We are constantly doing everything in our power to bury them, pretend they don't exist, not acknowledge them. Or get so caught up in the fact that I can't be free of it. I'm just sick of it. I'm tired of it. I'm frustrated. Well, guess what? You can't be free of it. God can help you replace it with faith. That's all that happens. God's going to help you replace all this fear with some faith. So it's an evil and corroding thread, and the fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It sets in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune that we felt we didn't deserve. right? I don't deserve this. What is happening? They just told me in four sentences how it is the cause of everything. But did not we ourselves set the ball rolling? We set it rolling. How did we set it rolling? We were living a life driven by self. Attitudes, emotions, and ideas that kept telling us that we're in control. We're better than everybody. Or we're worse than everybody, whatever it was. So we set this ball rolling. We put it in motion. We think fear ought to be classed with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble. What's it stealing? It's robbing us of peace. It's robbing us of serenity. It's robbing us of contented sobriety. See, I can be sober, but if I'm not contented sober, man, I'd rather be loaded. Hey, okay? We've all felt that. It's a bad place to live. So what are we going to do about this? We're going to review our fears thoroughly. We're going to put them on paper, even though we had no resentment in connection with them. Now, you notice some of the resentments, this is how we came up with the fears. So they are kind of in connection. But what my understanding of that description there is that it's the driving factor of everything. And if I was to truly be free and relieved of these resentments that I've been carrying around through forgiveness and acceptance, still going to have fear, right? So I'm not resentful at my dad anymore. I'm not resentful at my mom or my brother or my two boys or my wife or myself. I forgive myself for horrible things. That doesn't mean I'm still not driven by fear, right? Why? Because it's the evil and corroding thread of my life. It is the most important thing in everything we do. To recognize, to acknowledge. Talk about being powerless. Okay. You are powerless over your fear and it will continue to wreck you if it's not acknowledged, lifted up over and over and over again. Sounds exhausting. It is sometimes. Sounds a little ridiculous. Well, how free do we really want to be? Like you hear them say. I don't know. There are times where I don't want to acknowledge it. I don't want to talk about it. Usually when I get angry and it blocks everything out. It'll take me a few days to see what I was really afraid of. Being alone and failure are the ones for me that are really, really driving me. Okay, so we're going to put them on paper. We're going to ask ourselves why we had them. So I'm going to pull up my fear grid tonight. I don't believe in typing this inventory. I believe in pen to paper. I don't believe in typing something cleanly for you guys to see. So if you're familiar with the fear grid, it's sideways on an 8x11 piece of paper. So when I pull it up tonight, it's probably going to be hard to see, hard to read. Just going to touch on it, kind of show you a little bit. Talk about it a little bit. Do not get caught up in this whole grid thing and try to understand it. Remember, one of my favorite scriptures, okay? We're going to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We are not going to rely on our own understanding. Do that all the way through all of this. Trust in God with all your heart. Do not rely upon your own understanding. Yes, you will become armed with facts about yourself. The only purpose in that is that so you can walk through life aware when you're going off track and so that you can be of service to somebody else so that you can relate. But understanding the madness that goes on in the mind of a chronic alcoholic or addict, it's never going to happen. That's part of me surrendering to God and say, here I am. That's my ego and my pride. Just help me with that. It's killing me. Fear is killing me. So we'll ask ourselves why we had them. Wasn't it because self-reliance had failed us? So that's the place we're going to get to in the fear grid. We're going to put all these fears and say why we had them. We're going to get to a place of self-reliance has failed me. Remember, we are convinced that a life run on self-will can hardly be a success. That is a requirement to move from step two to step three. So now we're going to be reminded that self-reliance will fail us every single time when we're dealing with fear. Every time I turn to lean on my own resources to fight this fear, I'm going to fail. Okay. Find other people around you that you can trust and talk to. Find other people around you that you can relate to, be vulnerable with, and open up to. It's very important. I'm guilty of not doing that enough. So I know how hard that really is. It's easy for me to say. And please remember, like I told you when this workshop started, everything I say to you guys is something that I need to work on myself, something that I need to grow towards. It's easy for me to articulate and verbalize. God's given me a gift to speak and to lead. But that does not mean that I do not need to work on it just as much, if not more, than each and every one of you. So please remember that. I'm going through this with you. And as it's coming out of my mouth, I'm listening to what I'm trying to tell myself. See, this is the truth. You wouldn't be able to relate to me if that wasn't the case. It wouldn't make any sense, right? Then you start putting me on a pedestal or whoever your sponsor is, and now you're relying on them. It's ridiculous. Don't ever do that. We're all equal. This is a shoulder-to-shoulder journey. We're just addicts and alcoholics that struggle and want to get well. We want to help people. We want to be aware of what growth looks like. What does spiritual health really look like for us? Fear grid, part of it. Inventory is part of it. So self-reliance failed me every time, right? Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us once had great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. When it made us cocky, it was worse. Sometimes that's hard to understand. When these fears make us cocky, it gets worse. So I'm going to give you an example, right? Fear of failure, fear of not being good enough, fear of being alone in my life made me cocky after 18 years of marriage, made me go out and prove to the world that I could go get a younger woman that was 16 years younger than my wife, and I could go and do whatever I wanted to, right? The fear, the driving fear in my life created cockiness that destroyed everything around me. All driven by fear of not being worthy, not being lovable, not being good enough. Trying to prove to myself that I was still worth something. Right? So that's what they mean by when it makes us cocky, it gets worse. When we're out there acting on these fears and this protection mechanism around us becomes so delusional that we're acting out. And all we're doing is creating destruction. That's what happens. Recognizing that is the first step for us to heal, right? So this is my favorite paragraph in the whole book. This paragraph transcends everything we are doing, everything we will do. It's talking about fear. You want to open the book to something every day? You're having a problem opening the book up? Open the book to page 68 every single day. One day at a time for the rest of recovery to page 68 and read this paragraph. Perhaps there is a better way. We think so. For we are now on a different basis. The basis of trusting and relying upon God. We must trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We are in the world to play the role He assigns. just to the extent that we do as we think he would have us, and humbly rely on him, does he enable us to match calamity with serenity. There is a better way for us. We are in the part of the steps where we're beginning to acknowledge that. We're beginning to see it. We're in the middle of validating the pain that we're in. We're putting it on paper. We're recognizing our fear. There's a better way for us. We're going to begin to live life on a new basis. That basis is trusting and relying upon God. We're in the world to play the role that he assigns. There's the fear. See the fear in that? See how hard that is? To get to a place in life to understand that I am here to play a role that God's assigning me, not the role I assign. What if I started every single day like that? And what if I made that my mantra? I am here today for this 24-hour period to play the role that God assigns me. Right? How am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to communicate with him. I'm going to get quiet a little bit. I'm not going to overthink it. Remember, trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely upon your own understanding. We're not going to intellectualize it. We're not going to try and understand what God's will is for us. That's ridiculous. We are here. Every day is a day that we're supposed to carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities, right? That's what it said in our, it says that in our 10th step. And we're trying to get our will in line with God's will. That's the proper use of our own will. See, we're destroying self here and these seven areas of self. But there's a paradox to it because life is driven by self. Life is driven by the choices and decisions that you make. Life is going to be dictated by your actions and your motives and your attitudes. That is why we are going to do our best to play the role that God's assigning for us by going to him and asking him for inspiration, for direction, for guidance, recognizing the fear, being honest, being sincere with him. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. Help me. Get through this day. Let me pause for a minute before I walk out that door. Let me cry for a minute. Let me pick up a phone and talk to somebody. I don't know, but we don't need to overthink it. Let's just invite him in, right? There's a lot of promises in this book, okay? What I'm going to challenge each and every one of you to do is to claim the power of God in your life. Claim it. Own it. Stand on these promises. Find your cornerstone. Stand on them. Claim it. I can't do that without believing in it. I can't do that without some action. Faith will come. The results will come and you'll be content with whatever they are because somehow deep down inside, you've been able to find a little bit of peace in the midst of all this fear and madness. So they talk about, you hear them saying in Alcoholics Anonymous all the time, that we're going to turn calamity into serenity. God's going to turn calamity into serenity, right? Boom, snap my fingers, calamity into serenity. That's not what this sentence says. The sentence says, just to the extent that we humbly rely upon him, will he enable us to turn calamity into serenity? See that? See how that works? He's going to enable us through decisions, through actions, through motives, through self on the God plane, not self on Jason's plane, right? Not Jason running the show. There's still a lot of self involved, but it's doing my utmost to get my will in line with the will of God. Honesty, purity, unselfishness, love. That's the simplest way. Just to the extent that I do as I think God's going to have me. See, we're all building this level of awareness here now. I'm sure you're all recognizing it. Right. That's what gets a little ugly too and scary. I don't want to see it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to be aware of how defective I am. What's that enabling us to do? It's enabling me to be able to decipher what God would have me do, what God would have me be, right? It's that little voice of the Spirit just kind of talking to you. So just to the extent that I do that and I humbly rely on Him, He's going to allow me to match calamity with serenity, okay? So you can see how much is in that paragraph. I've got a couple other ones. I'll share one with you when we're in our 12th step. But if I had to pick one that transcended everything we do, I would go to that one. That's just my experience. We're never going to apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. We can laugh at those who think spirituality the way of weakness. Paradoxically, it is the way of strength. See, God's power is going to be found in our weakness, admitting our weakness. It's going to show up. Our unworthiness, our fear, our inability to be okay and content. That's when it's going to show up and it's going to become strength, which we could call courage to walk through these fears, this fire. It's a fire, man. God's on the other side of the flames. Just got to get there. The verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. Instead, we're going to let Him demonstrate through us what He can do. Okay? So as we're growing, our objective is to be of service to other people. I came up with a quote. I looked it up. Nobody coined it. I put it in my book. But the greatest gift in one's lifetime is to make a difference in the life of another. The greatest gift that we can experience in life is to make a difference in someone else's life. That's how we're going to let God demonstrate through us. Some of us are in so much pain and fear and doubt and worry right now that we don't see any way how we could ever really be of help to anybody. I promise you, if you stay this course, your life will change for the better. I'd be lying if I said you're not going to be fearful and it's going to be completely removed, but I will tell you, you will build tools to overcome the fears that are guiding you, the fears that are driving you, the fears that are eating at you. You find a way to overcome them. So here's a prayer. One of the prayers in the book. It says we ask Him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what He would have us be. God, please remove my fear and direct my attention to what You would have me be. And at once we commence. See, we begin to outgrow fear. It doesn't say at once our fears are gone. It says at once we commence to outgrow fear. So that's the section in the book about fear. But understand how important of an element it is in this entire inventory process and in everything that we do moving forward. It's paralyzing. It will keep us from belief, from faith, from growth, from healing, from forgiveness, from acceptance. It will force us to continue to live in a delusion. Maybe the delusion says, I don't have any fear anymore, and I'm good. I'm recovered. I don't know. That's not the case with me. So we are going to put our fears on paper. We've done our first, second, third, fourth column with the realization. Now, I know a lot of us are still working on it. That's fine. We've got a few weeks ahead of us with plenty of time. What we don't want to do is sit on it. What we don't want to do is just bypass it altogether. Maybe you're not ready to face certain things right now, and that's okay. I'm not here, nor is anybody here, to tell you that you have to put that particular resentment on paper. When that happens, it doesn't work. I can suggest, if after I learn a little bit about you, but ultimately it's up to you. Now, when we do this fear grid, I don't want you guys to get all caught up in trying to understand it. I want you to take the fears from your third column, and I want you to put them down the line where it says, list all the fears. Just write them all down. The ones that repeated themselves, I want you to start those ones at the top. Those are the big ones. The ones that you see repeated once, twice, three times on your sheets, start those at the top. Then we're going to go across this grid, and we're going to ask ourselves why we have them. Okay? Now remember, the purpose of this is to get to a place to understand that a life on self-will can hardly be a success. We're convinced of that. And to see that self-reliance, which is the exact same as a life run on self-will, is what is going to fail us every single time. The more I rely on my own power when it comes to fear, the more I'm going to continue to remain in fear. It's that simple. So that's what we're going to talk about. So I'm going to read a couple to you guys, and then I'm going to pull up the sheet so you can see my scribble in a sideways fashion because of the way our grid is laid out. But here's an example. So what I wrote on the top of my fear grid was from fear to faith, because that's the goal here, right? And what I've come to terms with, the prayer does say, God, please remove my fear and direct my attention to what you would have me be. Great. Say that prayer. It's a wonderful, wonderful prayer. I've evolved a little bit, and I've come to this understanding that I don't ask God to remove my fear anymore because God didn't put my fear there. I'm the one putting the fear there. So my prayer to God is to please replace my fear with faith. Replace my fear with some level of contentment or peace or serenity. I am so full of fear right now. God, please replace it. Because anything I lift up to God that's wrong or evil or ugly, he's going to replace with something good. That's my firm belief. And that's where we start to get our peace. Okay. So the first one I have on my list is abandoned, right? And then it says, why do I have this fear? Well, if I'm abandoned, then I won't be good enough. Why would I be afraid of not being good enough? If I'm not good enough, you're not going to like me. Why would I be afraid of you not liking me? Because if you don't like me, then you're going to be better than me. Why would I be afraid of you being better than me? Because then I'm not enough myself. Not that I'm not good, I'm just not enough, period. And what happens that if I'm relying on self-will, it's going to fail me every time. And in that line, I see those fears. There is no God. There's no God there. Right? And I'm going to do that all the way down. So I'm unimportant. Why do I feel, why am I afraid of being unimportant? Because I won't matter. Why am I afraid that I won't matter? Because if I don't matter, I can't be better than you. Why am I afraid of not being better than you? Because if I'm not better than you, you're not going to look up to me. Why would I be afraid of you not looking up to me? Because if you don't look up to me, you don't need me. Why am I afraid of you not needing me? Because if you don't need me, now I'm alone. What happens when I'm alone and I feel alone? I'm in that fear of being alone. Self-reliance fails me every single time and there's no God. See, that's all we're doing with this grid. Just be honest. You write the fear. Why do I have it? Why do I have that? Why do I have that? And let it flow out of you. And at the end of this grid, you're going to write, self-reliance failed me and there's no God. That's all we're doing. The workbook talks about it shrinking down. I never understood that. I don't know how that works. My fears just grow and grow and grow. So I don't know. Maybe yours will shrink down. Maybe somebody has some advice about that that's more versed on how to properly do the fear grid. The book says we listed our fears. We asked ourselves why we had them. It says, wasn't it because self-reliance failed us every time? That's what we're looking at. That's it. These are the objectionable things in my life. So when I pull my sheet up and you see all the scribble, those are all the objectionable things in my life. There's a lot of shit, man. There's a lot of things we lift up to God. Hence, it ain't going away overnight. Next one's alone. Why am I afraid of being alone? Because then I won't have anyone to rely on. Why would I be so afraid of not having anybody to rely on? Because then I'm going to be stuck with myself. There's my fear. There's a good one. What happens when I'm stuck with myself? Self-reliance fails me every time and there's no God. Then I have fear of not being good enough. And I would say it again. See, you're going to see a repeat. Why am I afraid of not being good enough? Because I can't be better than you. See, I've gone through life. I got to be better than everybody around me. That's my defect. That's my fear of not being good enough. I'm going to prove to you that I'm better than you. Some of you that know me can see that in me. You see that defect kind of come out at times. Hey, I'm acknowledging it. That's me. That's me without God. We're doing here. So if I can't be better than you, I'm going to need you to make me okay. And if I need you to make me okay, then you're not going to look up to me. And if you don't look up to me, self-reliance is going to fail me every single time. And there's no God in my life. That's why I'm doing this. So you're going to see it's going to repeat. It's going to seem kind of like, what am I really doing here? You're putting your fears on paper and you're asking yourself why you had them. That's all you're doing here. You don't have expectations. You're seeing how self-reliance failed you every single time. And will continue to do so forever. Fear of being neglected. Why? Because that proves that I'm not good enough. Why would I be afraid of somebody proving to me that I'm not good enough? Because that means I'm a failure. Well, why am I so afraid of failure? Because failure is weakness. What happens when I'm weak? Self-reliance failed me right in front of me. Writing's on the wall. No God in my life. Next one's a failure. Why would I be afraid of being a failure? Because that means I'm weak. See how it starts to, you're going to get a theme here. That's what we're doing. Why am I afraid of being weak? Because it's going to prove how wrong I am. Why am I afraid of proving how wrong I am? Well, because now I'm alone with myself again. Here I am. Holy shit. One of my biggest fears. What happened? Self-reliance fails me. I'm alone. No God in my life. And I've gone down with unsuccessful, unworthy, misunderstood, unlovable, disrespected, honest, depended on, independent, less than, unwanted, wrong, unstable. Sober. Here's a good one. How many of you guys are going to put sober on your fear grid? Why am I afraid of being sober? Because I got to face myself. Got to face myself. Why would I be afraid to face myself? Because that means I got to rely on God. Oh, what? Yeah. What happens when I got to rely on God? That means I got to have faith. Oh, shit. Self-reliance failed me. And there is no God in my life. See, that's why that's happening right there. Right? Fear of being equal to you. Oh my God. I just spent the whole workshop talking about how none of us are worthy and we all are equal. We're all God's children. We're doing the shoulder to shoulder. And here we are looking at my fear grid. Here it says, I'm afraid of being equal to you. Why am I afraid of being equal to you? Well, because that means I can't be better than you. Why am I afraid of not being better than you? Because then you're not going to rely on me. Why would I be so afraid of you not relying on me? Because then I'm going to be alone. What happens when I'm alone? Self-reliance fails me every time. And there's no God around. See? So that's how that works. Don't overthink it. Just write it. I'm going to pull up my grid so you guys can see it, even though it's a bunch of chicken scratch. Let's see what it looks like here. Okay. So the top going sideways, those are the fears that I found on my third column inventory. Going across the top, it says, why do I have them? Why do I have them? Why do I have them? I read to you guys probably the top six when I touched on the other ones. And you're just going to go across that grid. And then you'll notice when we get to the end of it, they all say, self-reliance failed me. No God. No God. No God. No God. No God. No God. Because that's what's happening. Oh, it doesn't have to be that full. It doesn't have to be, you do what you will with it. Okay, but take the fears from your third column, put them in line down that first column of the fear grid, go across one at a time, and ask yourself honestly. Sometimes it's pretty enlightening because you're doing it in private and no one's there guiding you and you can be super honest with what you see there. So just dig a little deep and ask yourself, why do I have that? And get ugly. Don't try and sugarcoat any of this stuff. You heard what I just read to you. I just explained to you how I live my life having to be better than everybody around me, including you, and how I still suffer from that today, and how I always have to be right. Right. And how I'm so afraid at the same time of being alone and failing and not being good enough. And those are the things that I recognize are driving all of the negative circumstances in my life. None of those things drive positive circumstances in my life. They drive the negative ones. So I get to see that and recognize that. Those are things I talk to God about. I don't talk to another human being enough about it. Sometimes it becomes redundant. Your sponsors heard it over and over and over. Sometimes they'll tell you, man, just, have you ever heard of surrender? You know, so ultimately you will be left to this in private with God for the rest of your recovery. That's what it looks like. How do you deal with it? How do you lift it up? What do you do? So, do you have, hey Pat, do you have a fear questions worksheet? Can you hear me?
Sorry about that. I do have it. I can put it in the chat. Can I talk about it for a second?
Yeah, that's why I asked you. Pat said There's a fear questions worksheet. I don't know that I'm aware of it. Pat,
yeah, my I got it from my sponsor, from Pat T, because I, you know, I would go to him with inventories at least once a year, and I was sick of doing the goddamn fear grid.
Right.
And he came up, he just asked me these questions, which are right out of the big book and from page 68. And what I do is I take like the top three, you know, the ones that repeat the most,
yeah,
and do this worksheet on each one of them. And the first question is, why do I have this fear? And, it's best to try to think back and remember, you know, maybe it's from childhood. When do I remember having this fear? You know, the first time, where did it come from?
Right.
And then, you know, what, self-reliant behavior or attitude did I adopt? That's another question. And these are questions that could take, you know, you can write as much as you want. Can I see that it worked? You know, what was good about my self-reliant behavior or attitude? You know, sometimes it works. Like you said, it's a protection, you know,
right.
It protects me. And then where did it fail? You know, where did it not go far enough? Where did it make me cocky or overly self-assertive? It's basically like that. And I found it to be really, really helpful. I mean, I lost count of how many inventories I've done, you know, and
yeah.
It's been like at least once a year for the last 15 years, you know, or whatever. And now it's fewer and fewer, and, you know, the fears, yeah, they don't go away completely, but every time I do a fifth step, I feel like a lot of those fears have lessened, a great deal. And it's not that I'm consciously noticing that the fear is less. Literally, the world seems like a different place. All the people that are in my life are different. They're not as scary. They're not as threatening. You know what I mean? And it's not perfect, but every time I go through a fifth step without fail, I have that experience where these, you know, it seems like I'm in a new world, you know? So it's pretty cool. I can put it in there. I got it from the Recovered From website.
Okay. Yeah. You can email it to me too, and then I'll make sure everybody gets their hands on it. I think that's a great way to supplement what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. You take the top three or top five, whatever the, you know, it's obvious. Like once you do the grid, you'll see the ones that keep coming up, not good enough, being alone, you know, being abandoned. Those are very common for us, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I can put it in the chat too, though.
Cool. Yeah. And I think that way you guys can also do a narrative behind it. Cause I agree that the fear grid does become redundant. I never, the most healing I got was just kind of seeing the amount and how one led to another. But what Pat's talking about, to it makes so much sense to do exactly what the book tells us and break down those four or five sentences there and answer those questions in the form of a narrative so that maybe you can find a little bit more relief that way. And then you can also take that to your guys' fifth step and focus on, because ultimately they're all objectionable. And I believe what Pat was talking about, every fifth step he does, he's continuing to lift up these objectionable things in his life, and he's getting this next level of healing with each time. You know, the reason why we don't do this stuff one time. So Pat put that in the chat, and that, that's the link to, there's a website called Recovered From. And that's Michael Kay's website. He runs workshops, and there's a lot of wonderful things on that website as well. And then I'll remind Pat, he can email it to me too, and I'll, or I can go on there and pull it off, and I'll make sure you guys get your hands on it just to kind of supplement the grid and go through it a little bit deeper is what I would say. So I highly recommend that. I think that's a great idea. So that's fear. And that's where we're at in our inventory. I'm I'm going to say a little prayer for us here. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. I thank you guys for showing up, and I love each and every one of you.